You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Laura Breckenridge. I played Rachel Carr in Gossip Girl, and we're rewatching You've Got Yale.
Welcome back, listeners, to your one and only source into all things Gossip Girl. You know you'll love it. XOXO.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to XOXO with me, Jessica Zohr. A lot has been happening recently, but today's rewatch is where it starts to get really juicy. We're digging into season 2, episode 16, You've Got Yale. Chuck and Lily team up to try to take the company back from Jack, while Blair risks her future to scheme against the new teacher, Miss Carr, who gets into a few scandals of her own. Speaking of that new teacher, Laura Breckenridge, who plays Rachel Carr, is joining us today. And I can't wait to ask her about her time on the show and dig into the steamier storylines that she has coming up. Okay, everyone, here's Laura. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
I'm good. I'm so excited to like actually see your face in a little bit too. It's a crazy rainstorm and I'm like, you should see my studio. I'm in like a dark hole, but you're making it feel much brighter because it's been forever.
And it's been a long time. Me too. Shanola sends her love, by the way. I need to start off by saying that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You have to give her a big hug. How great is she?
She's fabulous. She's the best.
Fabulous.
She really, she just lights up every room.
She does. And is she directing a lot now?
She directed an episode of Shameless.
Yeah.
Her episode was great.
Well, we need to tell her she needs to be directing you and I in something.
Yeah, I would love that. She's so good. I work on auditions with her sometimes. She just always has such good advice.
She's really great.
Yeah,
and I mean, that whole cast of Shameless was so incredible. It was like, you know, so many storylines like Gossip Girl, but every time you went on, like, her storyline was crazy, and then you would go to Emmys, and then you'd go to Jeremy's, and every time that they all just brought so much like heat to the screen. You know what I mean? You're always like, whoa, that's crazy. And
you, and they made it all work together. And for you always needed to know what was happening next. And it was a crazy ride. Yeah.
And talk about a show that just kept going. I mean, I know. They did like 8 or 9 seasons.
I think they did 11.
Or maybe 11. Was it 11?
I think it was 11. Whoa. In the, yeah.
You're right, because I did season 8 and they went on a couple years after that. That's correct. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I still remember when she booked the pilot. And I was like, how did 11 years go by already?
Well, yeah. And the kids were so, they literally grew up on that show.
I know.
I really remember going to the table read and I was like, wait, I don't know who everyone is. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's because they were 12 years old when you watched season 1 this last week, Jessica.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It was nuts.
I know. I know. I mean, time flies.
It just does. I mean, even like with us, like it's been years. It's been crazy years. Wait, I want to introduce you because I got so excited and we just jumped right in. This is Laura Breckenridge, and she's going to be rewatching season 2, episode 16, You've Got Yale, which is, the title is based on the 1998 romantic comedy You've Got Mail, starring Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. So that's what we're going to get into, but I want everyone to kind of get to know about you if they don't already, which I'm sure most everyone listening does. By the way, before I do that, do you hear the thunderstorm or no?
I feel like I heard a rumble, but I wasn't sure.
I mean, it is like the craziest thunder I've ever heard in my whole life. Anyways, it's actually like very like cozy, but I'm like, geez.
I kind of love a thunderstorm.
Me too. I remember my mom used to be like, so-and-so is bowling today in heaven. And I'm like, okay, I like that. They definitely really just got a strike with that like huge thunder right there.
Right. No, that's so nice.
Yeah. Okay. So we have you here to rewatch with us, and you play Rachel Carr, Miss Carr. Do you remember your casting story? And at this point, obviously season 1 had come out. So had you heard of the show? Did you know about it because of, there wasn't a ton of shows on TV then, or because you are an actor in that world? Like what was going on?
Yeah. I remember my casting story very well, 'cause it's a story of, you know, when you think something goes really well and then you don't hear and you're like, oh, I thought it went well, I guess, and you forget about it.
Yeah.
I knew about the show. I actually had auditioned for the pilot. I auditioned for Blair.
Okay.
So I knew about it. And then I went back to college and because I had taken time off to work and wasn't that in tune with, I knew what was airing, but I wasn't in tune with how things were doing, maybe, I would say, because I didn't have time to watch TV, so I wasn't aware. And then I actually auditioned again. I was looking, I have in my email, like all my old audition emails, you know, with
your size appointments. Oh, yeah, because you can just search it. You can literally like, yeah.
And I was like, I know I went in for something else, and I went in for the college student when they went to visit Yale.
Right.
And then I got sent this audition and it was like teacher who looks young. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I look young. I'm told all the time I look young. And I was like, and it just, you know, when you read sides and you're like, oh, I get this, like it kind of clicks for
it clicks.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I kind of got her. But you know, it was like a week in New York and there were other auditions. And I think that same day I had another audition for 30 Rock and Tina Fey was in the room. And I was like very nervous about that audition. But this one was with casting. When you're with casting, it's like a cozier audition experience. So I did it and I just did the scenes. It was 2 scenes, I think. And there was no notes. It was just well, that was great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
And you're kind of like, wait, did you like it? Or what?
Right.
You never know if that's
like, give me something.
Right. You're like, you don't know if that means you nailed it or like, they were like, that was good, but it's not going to work. And I moved on. And I feel like with guests, it said it was a guest spot. It didn't say it was a recurring. And they cast those pretty quickly. You like hear in the next couple of days. I didn't hear anything. So I moved on. And I think it was like, I want to say it was like 2 weeks later. Maybe there was Thanksgiving in between. For some reason, it was a long time. And my entire team called me one afternoon. They're like, congratulations. I was like, for what?
You got it. Oh, my God.
And they're like, Gossip Girl. I was like, wait, what? I got it? And they're like, yeah, it's going to be a few episodes. And And that was that. And I called my best friend from college, who at the time was in, she had graduated and she works in finance, and she's a very put together woman, very, you know, in control. And suddenly I call her, I was like, so I booked an episode of Gossip Girl. You watch that show, right? And she just starts like hyperventilating. And she was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I gotta, hold on, hold on. I was like, what is happening? She's like, I had to find a conference room because I'm freaking out. And this is like some of the most exciting news I've ever heard. It is my favorite show and you're going to be on it. And that was my first taste of just how
like
dedicated
how people,
fans
like, adored
were.
It. Yeah.
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 And she was super, super excited.
I was going to say this speaks of how much they must have liked you from the beginning of meeting you, auditioning for the pilot, then bringing you back for someone else, and then bringing you back a third time again. Like they were basically waiting to find something to connect, you know, put the pieces to the puzzle together for you, because they don't keep bringing you back if they didn't love what they saw. It's, you know, it's a waste of people's time.
Right.
So that just speaks volumes that you kind of shined from the beginning. Maybe they didn't see you as Blair, or you didn't feel the connection with Blair, whatever it may have been. And to be honest with you, like your list of credits of what you've done and then like going to Princeton, like I'm so like impressed and enamored and everything with what you know, like starring opposite Laura Linney and Liam Neeson, and also Gossip Girl herself, Kristen yeah. Bell, like on Broadway, like that's incredible. Blue Bloods, Grey's Anatomy. I mean, you've done such amazing work. So it's like, I just think that's awesome. Like for anyone listening as an actor, when you keep going back in for the same show, if you're not getting roles, sometimes it does get discouraging, but like you feel good when they're like having you come back for something else. Cause obviously there's something there they liked. So that's just speaks volumes of you.
It also just feels really, thank you. That's very nice.
Yeah.
And a really nice way to look at it. It's nice to, you know, with casting directors, you go in sometimes they bring you back and they bring you back for different things. And there in my career, there's been a good amount of casting directors who will just kind of believe in you, right? And
right.
There's something really wonderful about knowing that support is there, even when mm-hmm. it gets discouraging, as you said. Sometimes you're like, oh,
yeah.
it's not fitting. Why is it not fitting? You know, Crucible, you mentioned Crucible, and I just remembered this. I went in for like three different, oh, I heard that. Oh, that I heard.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
I heard that thunder.
I'm like, gonna have to mute my microphone so it doesn't interrupt our episode.
No,
this
that
is crazy.
That was exciting.
Ooh, that was a big strike up in heaven. Okay.
I mentioned Crucible. It's like, boom.
Yeah. Like, that's a good show.
Yeah. I think I went in for that show four times for different roles in the production. And it was one of the, I went in and I remember I said to my agent, I was like, I want to be in this production so badly. I will be the grass in the background if I have to be, because mm-hmm. I love the show and I love the actors who are part of it. And it just felt like such an opportunity. And I kept feeling like I was having good auditions, but the role, you know, I went in for different parts in it and it wasn't fitting. And then I got cast, and which was, I still remember that phone call. You remember those phone calls when you get those
you
jobs
do.
That you're really excited about. And we get to set, and there was actually grass on our set. Was incredible. There was grass in the background. I was like, I almost
like,
played
that.
I was like, I would have done it too. I would have been lying. I just wanted to see them work.
Listen, but you know what? You bring something too. I'm sure they learned something from you. But that is it's great company you were with for sure.
It was amazing.
Let me ask you this: had you met Kristen Bell before that? Because a lot of times people don't know. Like us working on the show, she did her voiceovers. Mostly, I think, in LA. I'm sure there was times she may have traveled and had to go into certain studios. But, I mean, there was years that went on that I had not met her.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, we worked together. We did Crucible it was 6 years before Gossip Girl.
Okay. So you met her there, but obviously not on the show.
Not on the show.
Gossip Girl.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah, it's interesting. It feels like you work intimately together, but...
But you don't sometimes.
You don't. Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's times you could do a whole season of a show and not have a scene with another main character, which is
Well, you
is
and
wild,
I had no scenes together.
We didn't.
I know we shot at the same locations.
Yeah. Like there's always that time where we were probably like crossing in the hair and makeup room, or your scene was before mine or something like that. But
we didn't actually work together.
No, we didn't have a scene together, which I'm bummed. So we will have to like get on that.
Someday.
We'll work somewhere else together. So you went to Princeton.
Yes.
What did you study there?
I was a classical studies major.
Like, that's so impressive, Laura.
I really like school. So I studied ancient Greek theater and literature. I kind of joke that I was maybe justifying my career choice. I knew when I went, I'd already been working. I knew I wanted to be an actress. And I wanted to study things that interested me. I did acting at Princeton as well, but you can't major in theater there. You can major in other... You can't major
in the arts,
in
but
theater.
Just not theater.
You can major in... You can't major in a trade, basically. You can't be like a pre-med major. You can't be a business major. But you...
Okay.
They encourage that you learn how to be a scholar, if you will, how to study, how to learn, and then you can have a track. So I had a friend who was an anthropology major on the pre-med track and went to med school. And so I was on a theater track. There is a great theater program there that has just continued to grow. And there's a wonderful theater scene that's there, but you're not a theater major. You're either an English major with a theater track. And I did classical studies, and I was interested in art's place in society, I would say, and how theater changes to reflect the society in which it's performed in. And when you look at 5th century BC, it kind of distills a culture in a time, and you can kind of see how they talk to each other. And
yeah,
so I was...
This is fascinating, by the way.
I find it really fascinating. It's, you know, theater, Crucible, for example, we revived it after 9/11. It had been written during the McCarthy era. What is it today? What was it in 2002? What was it saying then versus what it was saying in 1950? And it's saying a lot of the same things, but it has a different relationship in that time period.
Of course, right.
With its audience. And so that's what I was, I kind of studied. My thesis was on Medea performed at different time periods in history. So that's my little dorky.
That's so fancy and so incredible. And no, who cares? Dorky's cool, man. But let me ask you this. Do you think that the show, like, especially because we're going to get into this break, you've got Yale, it's all about, you know, getting into these Ivy League schools. Do you think that the show portrays prep schools correctly? And now I know it's a show and there's things that are going to be pulled or pushed or plugged a little bit more, you know. But, I mean, I wasn't applying to, like, Princeton or Yale or anything. I didn't even go to school. So, like, I'm very interested, like, did they portray it well? Like, is the waiting and the hype and, like, is the stress, is all that, like,
I was, you
pretty
know,
right on?
My high school experience was very different because – I went to a private school, but it wasn't a prep school. I went to a professional children's school. And it's in New York. It's kids who are working professionally that need flexible schedules. And a lot of dancers and actors and even horseback riders, tennis players. And that school, I love my high school. And
oh God, that's awesome.
All of my friends from high school, we were super supportive of each other. Everyone pursuing their own thing, right? Their own, what they wanted to do with their life. And so not everyone wanted to go to college. Some people were going to join a ballet company and just do that. Some people were doing a ballet company and college. Other people were going to be singers. There's just, everyone had their own track, and that's what that school supports. And so I knew I loved acting and I knew I loved academia and I wanted to go to college. And so I felt very supportive, but there wasn't a competitive... there were other people applying to college, but I didn't think we were competitive in any way. It wasn't like, oh, like in this episode, they're like one constant student gets early admission.
Going here. I'm like, what?
Right. That I didn't. We didn't have
and
that.
And of course,
at my high school.
It's Blair and Serena.
Right.
I'm like, wait.
Yeah. Exactly. We didn't have that at my high school. I was very excited. I really wanted to go to Princeton. I did apply early.
Mm-hmm.
It surprised me that it felt like the perfect fit. But I went and visited. I had worked with somebody. They were developing Dirty Dancing at the time for Broadway, and I was playing Baby in the workshop, and a woman had just graduated from Princeton, and the writer of the show, her husband was a professor at Princeton, and I was like, I don't know if they have an art scene there. They're like, no, they do. And the woman who I was working with took me to Princeton for a night to a theater production by this company, Pig Iron Group. They were fabulous. And I left. I was like, oh, that, it just felt like a fit for me. And I was very
That's awesome.
Happy that my school helped me find my fit, right? And I do think whatever your step is after high school, you're very young at that time, but it is trying to find what fits for you, what's right for you.
Yeah, not everyone's path is going to college or going to a theater school or going into the, you know, trade. Like it's all very individual.
Yes.
But we do, you know.
Yeah.
And I think really people need to know that for sure. That's so good.
Once I got there and then you hear stories about the prep schools, you know, it does sound intense, more intense than.
I mean, I feel like it's intense.
It's intense.
Like.
Because I think sometimes if you're at a certain school, there's pressure to then continue on to a certain type of education, if you will.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
So that was not my experience. And so I do feel like I was a little bit like outside looking in being like, is that really what it's like over there? Because it didn't feel that way for me.
Right.
But yeah, I think it does get competitive at certain schools, certain high schools.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I know this is Gossip Girl and there's always like some crazy bomb being dropped, but like I think there's definitely an element in real life of
like a grain
of
truth,
the waiting and the right, for sure. Actually, we have a fan question for you. It says in real life, would Laura be more like Miss Carr, Serena, or Blair? And I'm only jumping right to that because Blair and Serena are so different trying to get, and then the fact that Serena gets into Yale and Blair quite doesn't, and then you know, you have Miss Carr that comes in who's like so wonderful and sweet, you know, in the very beginning. And then we see some like devious things come out later. But who would you be most like is what the fan question is.
Yeah. I am a rule follower and I'm not cool. So sometimes I'm like, oh no, they said we have to even, you know, I was parking at the parking garage here and I'm in an SUV and there's all these like compact spaces. I was like, I'm in an SUV. I can't park in the compact.
Right. You're like,
space.
I'm following the rules.
and so maybe Miss Carr, but then I'm like, but not where Miss Carr goes.
Right. There's pieces of Miss Carr.
I'd like
You're like,
be,
I'm a little bit of each of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to think I'm not as rigid as Miss Carr.
Right.
If you know what I mean? Like I'm more relaxed. I don't feel like everyone else needs to. She's like, I follow the rules and I'm going to teach you that you need to as well.
Yeah, she does.
And I don't feel a connection to that part, I would say.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You do you.
Right. I like that. You do you. Because listen, when we all do us, we're okay. Just be nice and do you.
Be nice. Be considerate of others. Be thoughtful.
Yeah.
And then.
Although, how about Blair in this episode when she's talking to Miss Carr and she's like, what does she say to you? It's when she's kind of coming to apologize, but she's kind of always what Blair does. She's like, still got an angle.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. She's like, and then when she's like, I'm trying to do better, that part at the end.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, she has a great line. What is that line? I can't not. It's something like, I can't not do that, right? I'm botching it. It's so beautiful.
Me too. And I was hiking and watching the episode, so I was not taking notes. Her zingers are great, but what she says to you was like, this is the way she works. Like she has to like kind of dig into people and kind of do all that. And she doesn't know, but she's trying to do it.
She's trying to be better.
Mother's Day is coming and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
So here, let's talk about where we left off and get into this episode because there's so much that happens. I want to hear your thoughts on things. I want to break some stuff down. So here's where we left off. After reading Bart's will, Chuck finds out that Bart left the entire empire to Chuck, but Jack plotted to get it taken away. Nellyuki stole Dan's phone and told Gossip Girl about Lily and Rufus's baby. Blair told Chuck it's over for good. Serena and Eric find out about the secret love child, and Lily and Rufus are told that their son has died. That's where we have left off, and here is what this episode, here's the log line. It's that time of year when Constance Billard and St. Jude students find out who is and isn't worthy of an early admission to Yale University. Serena bonds with her new teacher, Rachel Carr, who quickly becomes an enemy of Blair's. Meanwhile, Chuck pairs up with an unlikely ally in his war with Jack over Bass Industries while Nate and Vanessa have a romantic night at the opera. So we're talking about Yale, and our episode starts with Blair excited for the Yale early acceptance day.
Yes.
And she's, you know, at her home, and Harold asks if Chuck is going to be coming to the opera with them that night. And she also has a dog,
the bulldog,
which was so cute. That bulldog. I'm like, first of all, I want that bulldog to come on the podcast as well, just so I can like.
And they had all the food was the Yale colors. It was all blue.
Oh, my God. It was.
It just all of it was amazing.
It was so like so much, but so on point for Blair.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Was that anything like your acceptance day? Like, did it come with a dog? Did you have, like, people wearing sweaters and colors?
I wish it came with a dog. It did not. When I got in, at that point, you still got a letter in the mail. So you didn't know exactly what day it was coming. You were told it was coming by a certain date. I think it's December 15th. Is that crazy? I have, like, a date seared into my head.
Oh, my God. That's so great that you know that.
And I think I had been running home that whole week and it hadn't been there. And at that time I was working in New York and I was, the apartment I was staying in, we had a doorman, I was 18. And I didn't run home that one day because the college counselor at my school was like, no, it's not coming till Friday. It was like a Wednesday or Thursday. I was like, oh, I've been running home every day this week. And so I like went about my business and did what I had to do that evening. And I got home at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And my parents weren't there. And the doorman was like, the envelope came. I was like, what do you, no, it's not. It's not. No, that's different envelope. It's not coming till Friday. He's like, no, it's a big, it's
no,
an envelope.
It's here.
And it was a big envelope. And I opened it and I started, at that time they wrote just yes. And I just started screaming and I was really excited. Oh. And my mom calls because she wants to know where I am. And I'm like, Mom! And I'm like bawling. She's like, what's wrong? Where are you? Tell me where you are. I'm coming, right? I was like, no, it's Princeton.
Oh
she's like, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay. Because she thought I was saying I didn't get in. I was like, no, I couldn't speak. And I was like, no, I got in. And then everyone's jumping and shouting and people were in the lobby like congratulating. So it was a big moment, but there was no dog.
For sure.
There was no dog.
Oh my God. And I love that your doorman was there.
He was. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I love that.
We still talk about it. So, yeah. When I go home.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So now we are like, here's like Dan in the episode is coming to the penthouse to bring Serena some coffee on Yale Day. And then coming down the stairs is mm-hmm. Rufus and Lily, and they seem closer than ever.
Yes.
And I mean, can we talk about this for a minute? Like, can you imagine like you're on again, off again, boyfriend or girlfriend, and then you're over at the house and like yeah. your mom or dad walks down with their mom or dad, and it's just
– it's a lot.
I'm not saying anyone's saying it's supposed to be okay, but it's just like so complicated and a little messy right now. And then the fact that there has been a child in the mix where they, yes. you know – and you never know with Rufus and Lily or Serena or Dan, like if they're on or off or on or off, either one of them. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. And I don't know who you root for. Do you root for Lily and Rufus now that Bart's out of the picture, even though I feel like it's very soon to be moving yeah. on from your partner who passed? Or do you, you know, root for Serena and Dan because they have this like love story that we've been following for a season and a half now?
It's hard. And it's like, I want to root for all of them. And I want it to just be that it's not their parent.
Yeah, you can't date your stepbrother.
Yeah, you can't date. You can't date your stepbrother.
I mean, can you? You can.
I know. And it's just, I think they're both couples, the chemistry is so good. And it's so good.
You
want them to be together. And so when this moment is such a great moment of, wait, can we all have what we want in this moment? And it poses that right there. It's a very stark, like, wait a minute. We thought this, both couples were like, we're on, right? And then it's right. a wake-up call a little bit right in this moment. And then it almost repeats later when they're at the opera and they right. see their parents, like, fully together.
But I also feel like this is a moment where maybe just as Serena and Dan, you're like, okay, we've tried it and we went back right. and forth on and off and like, okay, we have a brother and sister, like a half sister yeah. or brother somewhere in the world. So maybe that's it. Maybe we just, you know,
take a moment,
stop fighting for this, take the gloves off and just be friends.
Right. Right. And see what comes later.
Yeah. I mean, you would never have thought that they have a sibling somewhere. And then like throw in the mix here with potentially two, they're like related to Chuck on top of it.
I know. Oh, right. I know, right? It's all connected. It all becomes very connected.
Well, yeah, because even the next little mm-hmm. bit, the next little storyline that's like so crazy is Lily and Chuck losing Bart, or all of them lost yeah. Bart, rather, but they're dealing with, you know, more things with the company and, mm-hmm. you know, Chuck doesn't have a mother figure. He's lost his mom and now his dad. And now here is Lily to come.
I think this is a really beautiful storyline.
I mean, it's so beautiful.
It's really, and I think Lily stepping up and Kelly does it so beautifully. There's such warmth to it.
Oh my
it.
God, such warmth. That's like the exact word.
Yeah, it's just warmth of caring. Like she knows that Chuck blames her and is mad at her and has all this anger. And yet she gets that. She understands that she's allowing space for that. And saying, I'm here for you. I want to help you. And I think it's a really, I really liked in this episode how they came together, even when Chuck is like pushing her away.
Yeah.
And they have a common enemy now, right? That they can, it's.
Right, with Jack.
Yeah. I thought it was a really, I like this storyline.
Yeah, me too. And it's like what you were just saying, though. It's so, there's so many layers to like what is going on emotionally for both of them, like mm-hmm. losing your husband, losing your dad, not having family, wanting to be his family, then finding out that like your old, like someone that you dated years ago wants to see the child that you gave up for adoption. Right. But then both of your kids are dating, but they don't know if they want to date because you might get back with, you know,
yeah.
Rufus, there's just so much. And then Chuck's, you know, uncle coming into town and having all these things with Bass Industries and really doesn't have any, he's like nasty.
He's
like,
just,
you yeah. know, so nasty.
And he's just selfish and.
Yeah. And he's coming to be
conniving.
His Chuck's legal guardian, who's like really there for the money and the drugs and the girls.
Not for him. Yeah.
And not for him. And Chuck just needs to be loved. And then there's just like Blair has been trying to like be there for Chuck these mm-hmm. last through all of this. And he's just, you know, trying to numb himself because he's like also dealing with the loss of a father that he thought never wanted him in life. Like You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In those last episodes.
And that's messy, right? It's like you think your father never wants you, but you miss him. And right, there's this...
And didn't get to say goodbye.
Didn't get to say goodbye. And there's so many emotions going on there. And I think you see it throughout the episode with him and Lily when she wants to help him and be there and he'll have a moment. And then he almost doesn't know how to accept that, right? And he pushes it away. And it's heartbreaking because you just want him to accept that love from the people who want to give it to him.
Right.
But he's so used to not being able to trust that, I think. So it's I'm skipping ahead to the end of the episode, but I do love
They
like defeat Jack together, right? And they figure it out.
For sure.
It's a good moment. And then he saves her from the bathroom, right? It's
in the bathroom.
And that's his way of showing thanks, you know?
Yeah. Like being there for her. Yeah. It was insane. I didn't even remember that scene or that happening.
I didn't remember it either. And it was really, I was like, no, wait, does it go there? Right? I started getting
I know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how about Serena coming? She tells Mrs. Carr that she gets accepted to Yale. Do you remember those scenes? Do you remember filming at Constance?
I do remember. My first day was at the art gallery, my first day shooting the end. We shot the very last
scene.
The end
of the episode.
Yeah. But I remember those hallways, and it's a great set. And what people maybe don't know is that, you know, when you're walking those hallways, it's like four hallways, and then you sometimes have to tie them together. So you're like walk, and then you come in a different angle to make it look like a different hallway or... You know, we filmed
because it's all like wood and cords.
Exactly. Or you film, you know, we filmed me coming into the school and the exterior set, and then you have to pick up coming into the interior set, and you know, then movie magic puts it all together. And I do remember shooting. I really liked that day. It was a fun day. That was like my first day with everyone, where I really got to know everyone.
In Brooklyn or in Constant? Oh, because in Brooklyn it was just with Penn, really.
Yeah. Exactly. It was just
at the coffee shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your character says something, Brooklyn, that's the place across the bridge, right?
Right.
I was like always dying because it was always like Brooklyn was so far. But now I'm like, that place is expensive. Everyone wants to hang out there.
Everyone knows Brooklyn now. She was like, it's across the bridge. Yeah. I always remember shooting the scene with Blair. And I can't remember if it was in the script that she takes my arm when she's like, let me tell you how it works here. But I remember.
Right. This isn't when she first meets you, though, no? Is that later?
It's when, this is not this scene. Sorry. Yeah, this is, I first enter with Serena and Dan. And then it's after I give her the B paper. And then.
That's right. And you say something about no one holds the doors. Like these kids have, you know.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
That's like my opening scene. Like no one's opening the door. Right. And so they help me through the door. I had bags. I had a lot of props. I remember that. Like
you had bags, books. You had stuff going on.
I had it all.
That's very rude of those kids. Very rude. You hold the door for people that can't open the door.
Rachel, you know, she takes her papers everywhere. I think she has her umbrella and her book. And all of it. And I had two bags, but it helped with the clumsiness of that scene and feeling awkward and out of place in the school where everyone is like carrying like cute little purses. I'm like, where do they put their books? They have cute little purses.
What is in that purse? Razor cell phones because everyone was using like a razor.
That's what they were using. I love it. They had you had to type the texting, you know.
Three times
to get a letter. I remember
tap,
those
tap,
days.
Tap.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
So nuts.
But yeah, it was fun shooting that day. It was really, that was a fun day.
I forgot about those hallways because I didn't film at that school that much. So I forgot. That is like a little fun fact.
Yeah. Yeah. And the courtyard's actually in the middle. The interior courtyard is on a soundstage, but the entrance to the school is actually a building near Central Park that we would shoot on location at.
So you would be outside an exterior saying your dialogue and your lines, mm-hmm. and then you sometimes would walk up the stairs, and then it would cut, and then you would continue the scene sometimes weeks later.
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay, where am I coming from? Okay, just talk to Chuck on the stairs, and now 4 weeks later, we're shooting the continuous part of this episode, which is nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was in those hallways a couple of times because one of the other the second episode I was in, I was in those hallways too.
Right. And what does Blair say at that point too? She's like, seniors get a free pass, like pregnant ladies or 14-year-old Chinese gymnasts.
Yeah, exactly.
There needs to be like a card game of just like her little zingers because it's like.
It's so good.
She is so nuts, good. Man, Blair, sometimes.
And I remember Leighton just in that scene, I don't remember if it was written, but she just grabbed my arm in like a, we're going to be pals, but it's a little aggressive. It was so, she just grabbed me to walk with her. And it just was such a, I remember that moment informed my response so much. I have a strong memory of that, of just Leighton being like, let me teach you a lesson and pulling me in. And it really helped me be like, no, I'm the teacher.
Right. Like your response was like just living in you because of how, what you played off of.
Yeah, basically exactly.
Basically what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Leighton was really good at those kind of things, throwing you. She would throw you, but it made you be on your toes to like keep it fresh and real.
And she's funny. And
there
like,
was times I was like, thank God I didn't break there. But it would help my performance.
Yeah. I think I almost broke when she grabbed my arm. And then I was like, nope, I'm not going to be charmed by this.
Yeah. And you know what? If it was written, then she still did it in a way that threw you is amazing. And if it wasn't, I think it's great that like she threw that in there because it probably, you know, just added to the scene. But you guys were both very powerful in that. Like, because I was like, wait, what is going to go down? What's happening? Because it was like tug of war again. Yeah. And whenever you have this tug of war with Blair, if someone can hang with her, it's like, okay, now you got me. Now you got my attention. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I think Rachel did not know what she was getting. I know Rachel did not know what she was getting into with Blair.
You know, Rachel, like, she's about to, there's like a war that's about to go down.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, she does not know what she's stepping into.
What about stepping into this opera situation, which, have you ever been?
You know,
I have not.
I have been, I was a ballet dancer for many years and have been to the Met Opera a bunch to see ballet. But I was thinking back and I've never seen a live opera. I've seen a lot of videos of opera, but I've never actually been live. And it's weird because I was like, I've been to the Met a bunch. And I was like, but no, I never actually saw opera live.
Okay. And I also want to pause for a second.
Yeah.
I meant to talk about this earlier. I used to think growing up, and I wasn't a dancer at all, if someone said, what do you want to be when you get older? I'd always say a ballerina because I just think it's the dopest, coolest, elegant, chicest thing. So that's amazing that you did that. But can you tell us a little bit about that? That is like the most beautiful and I feel like very difficult and painful, but so graceful. I don't know. I find the ballet fascinating.
I love the ballet. I still
just
do. If I'm like in a rabbit hole on YouTube, I'm usually watching ballet performances.
Ballet.
You know, I don't know how you got into acting and whatnot, but as a little girl, like I danced around the house, I sang around the house. I want to be that, right? And my mom put me in ballet class, and I really liked it. And then I saw the Nutcracker when I was four, and I was like, I want to be in the Nutcracker. She was like, okay. And my parents were very supportive, but they were not in the arts themselves. But they let me keep doing classes and whatnot. And I then trained in Philadelphia with the Pennsylvania Ballet. It's the Rock School of the Pennsylvania Ballet.
I mean, you're just super impressive and so amazing. Like, come on.
No, you're
this
so
is
nice.
Awesome.
You're so sweet.
It's the truth, though. Princeton Ballet, the roles you've done. And then you're just also like a sweet, lovely person. I mean,
You're so nice.
Awesome. Yeah. It's so true, though.
And then I got to do the Nutcracker, and that was like a dream come true. And I danced in the Nutcracker for many years. And I love ballet. I loved it when I was dancing. It's hard, there's discipline in it, but there's a freedom in it, too. It's kind of like acting, right? Like you drill your scenes, you work on it. Sometimes it feels difficult when you're trying to crack through something in a scene. And then once you're on set and you're doing it or you're on stage, it's just flowing, right? And you just feel it's like a freedom. I don't know if you feel that way. I feel like a freedom in a scene once you've put in the work.
Absolutely. And that's like the best feeling.
That's the best feeling. And dance is the same way. Like, yes, you're at the bar, you're in rehearsal, but once you're out there, you're just letting go. When I was about, I want to say I was like 16, I had started acting, doing musical theater stuff. And you kind of have to decide at that age if you're going to join a company and just do ballet or not. And I knew I wanted to act and do other things. So I stepped back a little bit from dance at that point and still danced and still kind of take ballet bars and classes and stuff. But
that's incredible.
But acting became my focus at that age. So
That's so beautiful and awesome.
It's great. And my friends who are still in it are super, you know, just disciplined. You said that.
Yeah, there's like this like picture of the inside of the foot of a ballerina and it's bloody and cuts and all of it looks like gnarly. And then there's like the beautiful picture with like the ballet slipper on and it says something like, you don't know what all goes into it. You know what I mean? Like it's like when a song comes out, people think like, oh, they just recorded it and not, you know, there's – well, I shouldn't say that like as if I'm like a singer. I'm like, yeah, I know exactly how it is to be a ballerina and a singer. But you just don't. No, and I always liked that little – the picture and the quote because it's true.
Yeah.
Like you only see the finished product. You don't know like the blood, sweat, and tears that go into things.
Yeah.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
But anyways, they're all going to the opera.
Yes.
I have never been. You have not been. And I thought that was like a really – that's what was always really cool about Gossip Girl, because we had scenes like this in places like that like we got to spend all day in and dress up and be all fancy. And
clothes.
That was great. But let me ask you this. Do you think it was too soon for Lily to be bringing Rufus out, not even in public? Because it's not to say like if you keep it behind closed doors, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm meaning like – I feel like it's just really soon to be moving. Like there's just a lot going on. But then again, these feelings for Rufus have always kind of been on the surface floating around, you know? But do you feel like that was like a lot? Because I kind of do.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to tell people how to grieve and what the right step is and what how to.
And if that's what she needs to do now, then
to kind of like move on.
Yeah.
But, and I think in some ways she wanted to say, I stand by this. I stand by us. I'm willing to show you off and not hide you and hide my feelings. But it was a lot and it felt very, I don't know. It's not just soon. It's just, it's a big step. And she has her kids. You know, there's just a lot of, I don't know if it's a choice I would make. Maybe I should
right.
say.
Yeah. And again, it's like we were saying earlier, there's just so much going on and the emotions that everyone's yeah. dealing with. Like, and not on top of it, Rufus found out that there's a baby. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So there's like, she just lost her husband, but yet she may be seeing her child that she gave up for adoption over 20 years ago. Like
right.
those are two from one end to the other, like couldn't be, that's so wild.
It's a lot.
I use that word a lot on this podcast, wild, because I just, it is
wild.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot. It's like she lost it and like there's so many things going on, and that's why in some ways.
And then
ways,
she's adopting
like,
Chuck.
Yes, she's adopting Chuck just, you know, at the opera, like, oh, right, I was going to adopt you. Let me go do that.
Yeah.
And
take over this $1 billion company.
Exactly. And so there's so much going on that I think she almost wants there is something nice in her saying, in all of this, I support us as a couple and I want you to know that. But it's just there's so much noise around it. It's almost like maybe waiting a little bit would have been a, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it. Just like, just let's
you
take
think
a
it's
beat.
A lot. I'm like, you think it's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, even a couple episodes when she got a call from Bart and hadn't listened to the voicemail yet. And after found out, you know, that he had gotten into the accident mm-hmm. and Rufus is like, I'll be there with you to listen to the message. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, that's like such a nice thing, but it's also so loaded because I don't even know. Even if it's like the nicest, sweetest message, that still like would be so hard to hear from someone that you're not going to see again. You know what I mean?
Again.
So there's just – they do a lot in this show where it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but like, okay.
Yeah. And I think there are a couple that feels like they've been through so much together, right? Like, I mean, uh-huh. they're a new couple, but, you know, they've lived life together, parallel in each other's lives for so long. That, yeah, I feel like
they just feel very connected.
They feel very connected that they're able to do things that I think other maybe new couples couldn't do together.
Right. Yes. It's very true. And then their kids are like maybe dating at the
yes,
same time.
At the same time, you know, as yeah. It's just
as
simple.
That would go.
These simple little things.
You know, real easy. and then, okay, so they're there at the opera. Then
yeah.
Vanessa and Nate are there on a date. Mm-hmm. And it's so cute because Vanessa goes and gets tickets on her own.
I love that
that's
moment.
Just Vanessa for you.
Yeah.
I know. And then so cute. Nate's trying to like squash or like push to the side that he had a box from because
right.
he wants her to feel like good about it, which was very sweet and cute. And
right.
Yeah. And I loved that. It was so funny because I was watching back and I completely forgot about the woman that sits next to us and she's just coughing and coughing and coughing. And I remember thinking like, that's hard to do
yeah.
because it's like completely quiet. It's not like when you're watching there's like sounds they put in.
Right. The background noise.
Yeah. You know, they add a little bit of music
yeah.
or they add the, you know, people talking. When you're actually filming a scene, it is like so quiet that you could hear a pin drop.
Right.
So her having to cough like that and then it like dries your throat out. I mean, she did uh-huh. a really good job and like – I don't remember if it took a ton, but I just – when I was watching it because it was kind of like a funny situation.
Yeah.
But I felt bad because I know that like doing that in a scene is like not easy.
It's hard.
You know?
Yeah. It wears on your voice.
Because you also need to make it sound super real.
Yes.
When you're not coughing, it's – you know, it's hard yeah. to make it sound real.
And she built it, right, where it was like a little bit.
She
little
sure
bit.
Did.
And then it started – and I thought she did a great job with coughing. And I was thinking that, you know – when we did it, it was like funny just that she's coughing and it would be annoying. And now in this like COVID world, I'm like,
oh my God,
like,
right?
It had like a whole new meaning. I'd be like, I feel like everyone would be like running from that area.
Yeah. Having like a hand sanitizer mask
yeah.
in between.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
exactly.
Wild.
So, but it was,
oh my gosh.
It was a very funny moment. And you two were hilarious in that with your response. And the laughing,
she just kind of brought it. It actually uh-huh. ended up being like funny, like actually without having to like really do a ton with it. But that whole thing was just like so funny to me. Like she does this, then there's these seats there. Yeah. And then of course you're invited to go mm-hmm. from Blair, who basically does this whole prank or.
Yeah. Where she's like, she sends me to a restaurant that's closed. And, you know, when I was rewatching it, I forgot that there's this moment when she calls me to invite me and Rachel says something like, she's saying, no, 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 I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. And then she's like, well, I have always wanted to go. And I remember thinking that's the moment when Rachel started to break her morals, right? Like she, Rachel comes in and she wants to be the moral high ground, right? She's going to teach her students, not just academics, but how to be in the world and how to follow the rules. And I think she
and
really
you very
means
much
well.
Played that in such a believable way. Like that was so rad what you did. Like even you with the Serena situation and even coming in when you first meet them and then your first situation with Blair, like you feel that in every
I think she was very genuine. At least I chose to play her very genuine. And I think she was very genuine. But she gets kind of sucked into this world, right? And then in the next episode, she's like, well, if I'm already fired, I get, right? But this moment
right,
was
which
like,
everyone does in this world. Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
somehow, like, you cross Blair Chuck and you're fucked.
You're in for it. And so I think that moment, I forgot that it's at the end of this episode. It really is just like a moment that the writers put in of – she starts to crack and she's like, well, I have always wanted to go to the opera, right? And then she takes the next step and takes a train to go see her student in Brooklyn, right? Like there's these like little moments where she starts to crack. And I was like, oh, right. And then, but then Blair led her astray and she's not happy about that.
Right. Yeah. Wait, and what was the, I was talking about it with Shelby, who's like our dear family friend here. I was talking about this episode with her and she's like, wait, she's like, you're the student's age. What was the reason again? I don't know why I'm blanking right now that you were close to our age and able to be teaching at the school. Cause you explained, they explained that in the beginning, which was very smart of the writing because you really do look at you and you're like, cause he, even Dan says it, Dan says.
Yeah. There's, yeah, she's 25, so she's already graduated and done a couple of years of Teach for America.
Okay, so she's not our age.
She's not actually, but she looks the same age and gets mistaken. I think when Serena and Dan first see her struggling with the door, Serena is like, or Dan says, who's the new student? And Serena's like, no, that's my Shakespeare teacher. And then one of them says, does she have Benjamin Button syndrome or something like that?
Right.
So she's supposed to look like a student, but she's actually a teacher. And then is close in age.
But that's still like a young, like if you're 18 and you have a 25-year-old teacher at that time when you're a senior, you think 25 is really old, but like it's really, you know, and
it's
it comes
not like
so
an
quickly.
18
but,
to 25. Though, you know, I will say Rachel was the teacher and should not have crossed those lines. But
I mean, you're getting sucked into that world. And that's the other thing. I can't wait for the next couple episodes because I don't even remember remotely what goes on, but I can only, you know, with what happens. I mean,
it gets a little.
Clearly, there's going to be something with Dan. But
oh, yeah. Was I not supposed to spoil that in this? Sorry.
No, okay. I mean, it does because you end up in Brooklyn. Like, you know, you're not going out there to just literally have coffee at the thing. You know what I mean? They're like dropping little like Easter eggs for us to be like, okay, keep us hooked. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get – when you get this phone call from Blair, you call the headmistress.
Yes.
To basically kind of like give all of this to her because it's basically you that is – you're like, okay, Blair, here you want to play? Now you're not going to get into Yale.
Yeah.
Basically, you just like drop a – you know, you drop the mic right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Blair runs to call it off because she finds out from the headmistress that I reached out to her to say Blair's concerned about this B. What do I do? And the headmistress says, don't worry. If she continues to get A's, she'll still have an A and get into Yale. And so Blair realizes I wasn't trying to destroy with that one grade her chances of getting into Yale. So she runs to try to fix it with Rachel. But Rachel's already like, no. You crossed a line here. Even though Rachel says, I accept your apology.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So then she calls the headmistress to explain that Blair, like, later they refer to it as hazing. Hazed her, pranked her. Sent her into a park that was empty and no one was there.
All the situations happening at the opera.
It's a busy night at the opera.
It sure is. Okay, and then Jack and Lily. So after the news about Bass Industries, Jack follows Lily into the bathroom. Dan asks Chuck if he's seen Lily. And Chuck says she was going to the bathroom a while ago or the powder room. And he tries to open the door and it's locked. Chuck does. And then this is the moment we were talking about earlier where all of a sudden Chuck is like coming in and walking in at a moment that's like very devastating and horrible and no situation that any man or woman wants to be in, where you are alone with someone who is trying to harm you.
Yes, exactly.
That's very scary.
No, it's to me, it's, yes, it's a violation like that is very, very fearful, right? It's
yeah, and
terrifying thing.
The fact that this is her husband who just passed, brother. This is Chuck's uncle. This is her brother-in-law. And he is just so nasty that, yeah, he's like, and then Chuck comes in and kind of saves the day for her.
Yes. Yeah, and she's just saved him, and he comes and saves her. And just that Chuck knew what it meant that that door was locked and that Jack had been around and Jack was upset and that
he put Lily everything together. There. He connected the dots.
He put it all together. He connected all the dots pretty quickly. And I also think the way that the scene, that whole sequence was edited and directed, it really built that tension. And just that moment when Chuck is looking around and he puts it together and he's like, I got to get in there, he put it together really fast. And it was very tense watching it.
It was tense and it was super, obviously that's our jobs to make it believable, but in that amount of time, like walking from this scene to that scene to put everything together was pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So I totally agree with what you're saying. Like the tension that was built up to then feel like, oh my God, someone's got to get in there to save her, but how is he going to put it together? But that's like the wise, brilliant part of Chuck, even though he's, you know, 17, 18 years old. And it was just that was just the way he connected those dots and saved her I had all these emotions going on because I'm like, oh my gosh, now he has to go and fight his uncle to help his stepmom to, you know, and his heart is still in this painful, you know.
Yeah, it's the sense it's
painful situation.
What happens with Chuck a lot, right? He's a kid handling these adult things sometimes, very often on his own, right? He just feels on his own handling these moments, right? These very grown up moments, if you will. Right. To have to confront his uncle in that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Have to confront his uncle who is hurting his stepmom in this like locked bathroom at this very public place. Well, yeah, just all these layers of that. And like, man, you got a lot going on and you're holding it together, even though he's, you know, trying to numb a lot of things. He's also holding it together for how much he has on his plate in a way, too. You know what I mean? Like, give me one of those things and I don't even know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it's just, he's such a great character and Ed played him so well in this, like, he does terrible things, but you have, my heart feels for him still, right? It's like, and this is one of those, there was a shot on his face after it all happens and my heart just broke for him. For every, you know, and just what Lily just went through, all of it, right? It was an intense moment to watch.
So intense. And then the piece between that happens with them, it's like, it spoke volumes of Lily when she says, I don't want the jet. I don't want the company. I just want you. Because there is always this thing of Lily on the Upper East Side and how chic she looks and, you know, that she did marry Bart Bass. There's like a little bit there where you're like, okay, she likes the money and she likes that, even though she's still trying to be the best mom she wants to be. And there is this love for Rufus, who's this single dad who lives in, you know, quote unquote, Brooklyn, even though that loft is probably more expensive than some of those Upper East Side places. But I thought that was
a
big moment, not just to take Chuck in and really be there for him, like, but that it wasn't about any of that, because that's a moment in truth.
Yes.
Most people, even if you aren't in it for that, you're not going to give up a $1 billion company. Even if you were hands down, head over heels in love with Bart, you still may be like, well, hey, I'm going to probably take a little bit of it. You know what I mean? So the fact that she's like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't want any of it. I just want
yours.
You is like very gangster of her, I feel like.
Yeah. I think that moment made me – I had a moment watching it back. I was like, right, Lily is in this world. She's of this world. She operates in this world.
Exactly.
But she has so much heart and, as we discussed earlier, warmth.
Yeah, yeah.
And she cares and she cares about him and she just wants him to be okay. And she's willing. She's not in it for that, as you said.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Also, not to like, because this is like a serious conversation and moment in the show, but like, is Lily just going to be everyone's mom on the Upper East Side? She's like, could be, you know, Dan and Jenny's. And then she's Eric and Serena. She's Taken and Chuck. Then there's like another love child somewhere running around. Like, she's, she may just be everyone's
mom.
She's Vanessa's mom, too. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. right. Is it all going to connect back to her?
And I always, to watch, doing these rewatches, and it's not really a rewatch for me. I don't know if you know this. I'm really watching most of them for the first time. I really love Chuck and Lily's relationship and storyline all the way through all of these. They have a really interesting dynamic. There's a love and a respect, but yet there's still like that stepmom, stepson kind of thing. And then she calls him Charles, which was a really interesting choice.
Uh-huh, and, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she kind of talks about that on her episode. But I really like those two. And I don't know, growing up when I'd watch shows and it would cut to like the parents' scene, sometimes you kind of – or for me – I'm not you.
Yeah.
I would, you know, can't wait for it to get back to the kids in high school, or can't wait for, you know, to get to this storyline. That doesn't happen on this show for me. Like when I'm, Lily draws you in so much, Rufus does, Bart does, like all the storylines are so much going on and so powerful and so jaw dropping that it's just, I just never, watching it back this time, I'm like, wow, I never knew how much I liked their storylines. I remember reading them and thinking, yeah, that's cute how they are. Or, you know, here's another dynamic, but I think they both play it so well and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, they play it really well. And they're also just so woven into the show, right?
Right.
The complexities of the show and the storylines, and it all kind of comes together. They're not like these separate things, if you will, which I think I hear what you're saying. There's certain shows where it's like, and now it's the parent scene.
Yeah, and you're like, just get back to the next scene. Yeah. Right. Not always. Like on Shameless, I didn't find that either. Shameless, I think they did a great job with it. You know what I mean? Like when they went to Shanola and they went to Frank, like you were dialed in. So some shows do a great job.
They wove
and some
all those stories together really well.
Yeah. And some shows I could literally care less.
You're like, get back to the drama.
Yeah.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And then it cuts to you at this point going with Miss Carr in Brooklyn with Dan, which, you know, you mentioned this a little bit ago where you're like, that probably was inappropriate for her to take Dan up on coming, you know, all like heading to Brooklyn and going to the, you know, gallery coffee shop. But did you know at this point when you read the script and you said you didn't know it was a guest star, but then obviously it was reoccurring because you do more, which also speaks again of how much they like you and how good you did with this role or how well you were as Miss Carr. But did you know where your story was going? Because sometimes on shows, you get the scripts, a couple of them. Sometimes you only get it week to week. Like, did you know when it cut here, you're going to Brooklyn, what was up in the next episode or no?
Yeah, well, so I can't remember if I had this script yet or not at my fitting. I do have a little story, which is my now husband, I just met him when I booked this job. And I said to him, I booked a teacher on this show. And he'd never seen the show. He's like, what student are you going to hook up with? I was like, no, oh my God. She's like Serena's mentor. And I think she gets into it with this other character, Blair. And he still is like, I was right. He was like, I think if they're bringing a teacher on, there's going to be, I was like, no. And then I was at my fitting and I definitely didn't have the next script.
Oh, I always like, because you could find some stuff out in the fittings, like if the script wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
It could be like, well, we know that this is going to happen. We don't have the scenes. I always kind of liked that because you could kind of get a little scoop.
Yes, exactly. And so somebody was like, this is perfect for when she kisses him. I was like, when I what up?
Come again?
I was like, who, what? And then I think I maybe didn't have the script. I just had my audition sides and this wasn't in it. And then when I saw this, I knew where it was headed. And, you know, when you're playing a character and they don't make choices you would make, you still have to justify those choices. And I think I remember, it was a long time ago, but Rachel's lonely. She's by herself in New York for the first time. I think in her mind, she was like, he's nice. It's a gallery. I want to see Brooklyn. Like, she's not going to see him in her mind. She's going to the gallery in Brooklyn and he's there, right? But she does feel some sort of connection to him, but I think is not acknowledging to herself what that connection is yet, if that makes sense.
Right.
She's justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's already beginning to justify behavior that is probably a little, you know, look, like you can go visit your student at a gallery. It's just, she then, you know,
goes down a path that. Yeah, exactly.
I think in her mind, she's like, I'm just like going to the gallery.
Like, you're going to meet your student at the gallery. Meanwhile, Blair's getting a detention, which you would give your student, you know, like you'd be giving the teacher detention for the choices she's making. So, but we'll flip it on you. You
exactly.
go there and we'll just give it to Blair and it's fine.
Right.
And what does she say? She comes out, Blair walks out. And Dorota is there with the bulldog, and she says, uh-oh, is it war?
Oh, such a good moment.
And she says, yes, but this one will be different. I need to wait for my moment, and then I'm going black ops.
Black ops.
I'm like, Blair,
I love it.
Stop. And she's like walking down the hall very slow. Like, you can see her like thinking of like, her brain's just going,
Dorota,
going.
Right behind
Dorota
her.
Dorota with the dog. It's just too funny and too cute and too good.
Because she did, you know, she's kind of already done one thing, right? And now she's like, she's in it. She's going to go all the way. And it's such a good moment. It pulls back and she's like you just said, she's just walking down the hall.
Yeah. And I'm also like, girl, what are you going to do? Like, you can't do much more. You pissed off the person that's was going to help you. Now the teacher that could have, this other, you know, the headmistress could have helped. You're burning the bridges all along. But then all of a sudden she'll like go get Chuck and then they'll both burn every bridge and somehow she'll be at Yale and like running everything at Yale.
Yeah. But she's burned all that. It's just like she just had to be. She just had to like make sure the next papers were all A's and then she would have been fine. But instead, right?
She's making it harder.
She's like mad about that one thing. She makes it harder. Yeah. But that's also the fun, right?
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So here's the closing Gossip Girl quote. The thing about new beginnings is that they require something else to end. Some endings take a long time to reveal themselves, but when they do, they're almost too easy to ignore. Some beginnings start so quietly you don't even notice they're happening, but most endings come when you least expect them. And what they pretend is darker than you've ever imagined, not all beginnings are a cause for celebration. A lot of bad things begin. Fights, flu season, and worst thing of all, wanna be starting something. XOXO, Gossip Girl. That was a mouthful.
It's a good one, though.
It is a good one. Okay, so that was so fun. Thank you so much. But do you want to talk about anything you want us to look up, look out for, projects, charities, anything? Like, we always like hearing new stuff. And we've all been, you know, what everyone's been up to since it's been so long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You know, some are marriage and kids, some is work, and some people like it's projects I can't talk about. And either way, but I just really want to thank you so much for being here and being a part of this, because it was a really, you just had really good insight on, you know, behind the scenes, in front of the camera, and just like your whole story and your journey and all the things is just really beautiful and wonderful.
No, thank you for, I loved doing this and going back and watching it and just, you know, memory lane. It's always fun. And thank you for having me. It was great. Yeah, I don't really have anything to pitch right now or, you know, tell you to look out for. I have two kids now and I'm married, two kids, and I'm acting. I kind of took a little bit of a, I didn't take a break, but I would say a little step back when my daughter, my second, was born, and then have been auditioning. It's all, you know, it's all home tape now. It's very isolating in a way, but
yeah, it's like nice and not nice, but yeah. Also, I love that you have like a family and all that, because to me that's like the most important thing in life, like, so it's good to be able to like do that and still do what you love. But yeah
I love acting. I love it so much, and I want to be doing it for the rest of my life. And it was nice. It's kind of a, I would say in some ways it's a good, acting can be a good mom job, in that if I'm not working, I can be with them a bunch. And then when you are, you know, you're working, you're balancing it. But it's been really great to spend a ton of time with them. Pandemic especially made us spend a lot of time together and just see them grow, because they were so young. They're now getting a bit older and going to school. And I feel like I'm really ready to get like fully back.
Yeah.
You know, when I was, especially when I was young, and I think I speak, I could say other people are like this, there's so much like go, and not that I'm not still go, but there's just more, allowing more space for things, right? Not feeling like there's a ticking clock every moment. And it's, you know, the journey is kind of nice sometimes to just be on it. So I'm excited for what's coming up. I don't know what it is though.
Yeah, but that's the best part about it. And that's what's also so cool too about what we do. Like with you, with how talented you are and fun to work with, and everyone has wonderful things to say about you, like the right thing will come soon. And I'll laugh about this and in the next 3 or 6 months or something, you'll be like, I'll be binge watching you on something for sure. And then I'm going to be like, you have to come back on and we have to talk about it and promote it.
Let's put that out there. Yeah, I think it's, you know, and also the thing about auditions on tape is there is a fun aspect to it, right? You get to kind of dive into it really deeply, though I then have to let it go at some point.
Yeah, that's my problem, though. I'm like over picky. So then instead of just going in and leaving it in the room and doing it, you know, or having them give notes.
Right.
Because I do like getting notes when you're in the room.
I love it.
Then you're kind of shaping it the way they want it, but giving your flavor to it, too. So when you're – I like a self-tape because you do have a lot of time to spend on it, and then I don't because I spend too much time on it.
And I like the collaboration of people, you know, that's exactly how I feel. And then I like the, like you said, notes. You then feel, our job is collaborative. And sometimes when you're self-taping, it does not feel, it feels not that, what I love is when it is collaborative and you're getting notes and shaping
it. Well, you know what's interesting? You know when, not interesting, but you know when Blair says in this episode, being good is subjective. You can look it up. Mm-hmm. I always say that about art. Art's subjective. So what I take on, if you and I both read a script and, you know, we're going out for, you know, two roles in the script, the way I feel like this character may talk or do things may be very different from you, which may be very different from the writers and producers.
Yes.
So to be in a room to kind of bring that together or get notes, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I would have never realized you wanted her to kind of have that dynamic or that color in this scene. So that's why self-tape is hard for me. Yeah. I guess if you like, but the fact that we can do that because of the situation the world was in, I'm glad we did have.
Yes.
We did as
technology
well.
Technology made a lot of things possible, but it's, and as you said, you know, sure I always, did. You said like we could have different takes. It's like, I always think when people felt competitive with other actors that they'd maybe see at auditions or not, I was like, why? Like, they're going to bring something.
I never, you know,
it never made sense to me, because I was like, they're going to bring something to it that's different than you. And it's that's
yes,
the beauty
and
of it.
Whoever gets the job is how it was meant to be.
I like
be.
To go and yes. see if I've auditioned for something, especially something I really like, what happens
yeah,
with
like
that
what
role.
They did with it.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, I like that, right? And it's great to yeah. see a different take on something. So it is. We all have our own thing to bring to the table, and that's the beauty of our
for
job,
sure.
I think.
It totally is. And we learn from it, from yeah. each role that we do and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
yep.
yeah, we're very blessed to be able to do this for a living. And I'm just like super pumped you came on. You were incredible. Like, I know we're going to get off this and everyone's going to be like, we love her.
Oh,
so it's awesome.
You're so sweet. Thank you. I mean, it's one I've been yeah. listening to the podcast. It's very addictive. I really love it. You've done a great job.
Oh my God. That makes me so happy. That's so sweet.
This was so fun. I had such a great time. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. I loved it. Wow, that was just so much fun with you, Laura. You are a breath of fresh air, and I'm so happy we got to connect. There are even crazier episodes coming up next, so for all you listeners, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You'll want to know when the next rewatch drops. Trust me. Until next time, XOXO. XOXO is produced by Propagate Content and me, Jessica Zor. Our show is executive produced by Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Kristen Vermilia, Emily Carr, and Hannah Harris. Original music by Moxie and Loon, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.